Welcome to Real Christianity, a weekly show designed to help Christians know their Bible, defend their faith, and truly understand what it means to follow Jesus. The premise is simple. The culture is getting louder. The church is getting flashier, but few pastors are teaching on how to live a biblical life. My name is Dale Partridge, along with my incredible wife, Veronica. Join us as we start an important conversation about what it really means to be a Christian. Welcome to Real Christianity. To date, we are talking about
how to be content in a world of complainers.
Oh, snap.
Oh, yeah, we're going there.
We're
going
to have that discussion. Right before we started this episode, Veronica was talking about my eyebrows, saying that my eyebrow hairs are...
He just always has these like five eyebrow hairs in each eyebrow that are like three times as long as your other eyebrow hairs. And then when I'm sitting here doing podcasts, I feel like they're just like waving at me. They're just like sticking out looking.
You know, the old people,
you're
the old guys.
You're getting older. You know what I should have got you for Christmas is one of those like trimmers and put it in your stocking.
Like the nose hair.
Ear hair, nose hair, eyebrow hair trimmers.
This could have been a thing. Well, on that note.
anyway. Speaking of complaining.
Yeah. So let's talk about, contentment. But before we begin, wanted to ask you guys, if you guys haven't left a review, to leave a review on the podcast. You don't even need to write anything. You could just tap the stars. If you're new to the show, welcome. If you're not new to the show and you've been here for 40 episodes and you haven't left a review yet, we'd really appreciate that. The other thing we want to talk about is the Ultimate Marriage Program. We said it in our last episode. We're going to say it again. If your marriage just needs a kind of...
A tune-up.
A tune-up. That's a good word. go to ultimatemarriage.com. We have a six-week marriage mentor program. We walk you guys through all the stuff about having a biblical marriage. And I'll tell you this. You don't want to work on your marriage after it's already started taking a nosedive. You want to be
proactive.
Yes, proactive about it, because otherwise the conversation about pouring into your marriage becomes like, if you're already in the midst of a fight and it's going downhill, it becomes difficult. We've seen this over and over again. So we just say, hey, get proactive, strengthen your marriage. It's a great way to support our ministry. If you're, instead of making a donation, you can enroll, and it's really affordable. So check that out, ultimatemarriage.com. So, why are we doing this show on contentment? Well, I think it's pretty obvious, as Veronica said, we live in a world of complainers and a covet culture. And we, as Christians, fall prey to this stuff quite often. All of us do. And we need to discuss what the Bible says about this.
We need to be on guard. Yeah. Have our eyes open to it. Yeah, it's sad because often I'll get on Instagram or social media platform. Most often it's generally Instagram. And I'll open it and all of a sudden you'll just see like this steady stream of Insta stories from stay-at-home moms or just, I follow mostly women, so I'm talking about them in this regard. Of them just complaining about their children or their health or how tired they are or their current circumstances and why everything sucks, basically.
Yeah.
If you're like me, I'm no saint. I'm sure I've had my fair share of doing stuff like that. I've struggled with contentment quite a bit, and I've actually known for a while that it's something that I need to revisit and start working on in my spirit and my character. And for most people, that simply means struggling with coveting, meaning we live in a comparison culture, especially with social media today. We're constantly measuring ourselves against the highlight reels of other people's lives that we see online. Little do you know, the same person that's posting a video of them like laughing and tickling their kid, was that same mom was probably like sobbing and bawling her eyes out earlier that morning, you know.
Yeah, but we're just so focused.
But nobody's going to post that on social media. Yeah, we get caught up in the, they have this and I don't. Or their marriage is good and mine isn't. How come my husband doesn't talk about me that way? Or their house is nice and mine's not. They built their house. We have to go build a house. Or, you know, all these different comparison things that we see online. Their health is strong. Mine is weak. Things like that. And so for others, learning contentment is a much deeper duty.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to think about those brothers and sisters in Christ who are learning to be content and having to learn to be content in the midst of suffering,
mm-hmm.
or disease, or in death, or the loss of a friend. You know, I've been recently seeing on social media, there's this big YouTube woman, star, I guess, whose son just passed away suddenly, and it's devastating. So contentment can be applied to things that are shallow and to things that are deep.
Yeah.
And so we're going to start the conversation today. I'm going to use my friend Nancy Wilson's definition of contentment that she used in her book titled Learning Contentment, which states, contentment is the ability to remain satisfied with God's will in all circumstances, whether easy or difficult. And I loved that definition. I know Dale and I have over the years have had many conversations about contentment, mostly me struggling with it. And you've worded it to me and walked me through that. And I've known what the truth says, but for some reason her definition just like
made sense,
hit the nail on the head for me. And I was just like, I was really convicted by it.
Yeah. And so she wrote this book. It's a book for women. I actually looked at it quite a bit while I was writing some notes for this podcast. Nancy Wilson is Doug Wilson's wife. We actually just got a chance to spend a little bit of time with them. Veronica got to sit down with Nancy, and just chat with her, but gave her a copy of this book, and you got a chance to go through it. So we're doing this podcast.
And it's a short book. It's a short book.
Yeah, like 100 pages.
Yeah, it's really thin, yeah, and it's really good.
Learning contentment. So when I think about the opposite of contentment, I think about the term stressed out or overwhelmed.
Discontent.
Yeah, and, you know.
Ungrateful.
I've been historically, not so much over the last couple years, but when I was in the business world, for sure, like that term stressed out was a identifier.
It was a way of life.
Yeah, it was an identifier of how I thought. And now, you know, we've all been there, but what I'm saying is that there's no valid reason for a Christian to be stressed out. Okay, that's a really big statement, but just stay along with me here for a second. I would say that every time you actually say the phrase, "I'm stressed out," you're basically advertising that God's, you know, or I would say advertising God's inability to satisfy you. That's what you're saying to whoever's listening to you. Like, I'm stressed out, right? You're saying, like, I don't like where God has me right now. These circumstances are not what I deserve. You know, God is failing to meet my expectations. That's basically what's being displayed through that phrase over and over again. You're discontent with where you're at. That's what's causing that stress. And, you know, we think that being stressed out is some, like, neutral territory to God, but the Bible would call this posture sinful. There's actually a lot about contentment, more than you would think. And I started diving into the scriptures and, wow, there's, like, this podcast could be four times as long, but we're going to try to, you know, keep it short. Being stressed out is basically the manifestation of a heart that's not satisfied with God's will in their life. It's like saying, God, you have me here, but I want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a yielded heart to the Lord and his will. And I think Nancy said it really good in her book. She said this quote, just because a situation is stressful doesn't mean we need to be stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a really good... Just because something's stressful doesn't mean you need to be stressed out. And there's all types of stressful situations. We have three kids, people. Okay? There's some stressful situations.
Hey, Dale Partridge here. We hope this podcast has been a blessing to your walk with God. For those that don't know, Real Christianity is an audio ministry under our nonprofit, relearnchurch.org. I'm telling you this because we're a listener-supported podcast. It takes a small team, a serious amount of equipment, and several hours per week to keep this show going. I share this because Veronica and I want to grow the reach of this show so that it might help even more Christians mature in their understanding of God's Word. So if you're a regular listener to this podcast, would you consider supporting us in this ministry effort? We're not asking for much, maybe $10, $20, or $25 per month. I promise you that your support will help us continue to get God's truth out, to strengthen the body of Christ, and to further the gospel. If you feel led to make a donation, simply go to relearnchurch.org/donate. Again, that's relearnchurch.org/donate. Thank you so much for your consideration.
Not to like make myself sound like really incredible or anything, but I the situation that just got brought up to mind was when Aria had surgery.
Oh yeah,
almost.
That's a great
two
example.
And a half years ago.
I was the failure here.
You were incredibly stressed out.
I was.
I mean, I get it. It's our daughter. She's having surgery. But you were, you know, walking around, pacing the halls the entire surgery, crying.
I was totally crying.
And I was sitting in the waiting room putting a puzzle together. And totally. You're like, how are you doing this right now? What's wrong? And I'm just like, it's out of my hands. Like, there's nothing I can do. It's just a different situation. There's definitely other situations where I get way more stressed out than you would, sure.
We call those Dale fails.
You call them that. I don't call it that.
I don't think I'd react that way anymore.
No, that was a while ago.
I was a mess. How old was she? Two? She was two.
Two and a half, maybe three?
2.5-year-old going to surgery. Oh, that was terrible. Okay. Jesus was never stressed out. And let's just look at this for a second. He was angry. He was distraught. He mourned. He experienced anguish. But he was never overwhelmed. He was never worried. He was never fearful or anxious. He sweat blood, but you might say he's overwhelmed. No, he's not overwhelmed. Just because a situation is stressful doesn't mean that he's stressed out. And in fact, Hebrews 12:2 says, "Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." See, because Jesus wasn't forced to go to the cross. He chose the cross with joy because he's God, right? He's God in the flesh. In other words, Jesus was content with the Father's will, even to the point of death. He was content with that will. And you might also be thinking of the verse in Matthew 26:39 that reads, "He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.'" You know, some translations say, "as your will be done." And that statement, even to the point of death, Jesus is content with the Father's will in his life.
Mm. Yeah, I think of the evidence of a content person means there is the absence of complaining.
Yeah.
Imagine a complaining Jesus on his way to the cross. You can't.
Yeah,
you
ridiculous.
Can't because it's not true. It didn't happen. Jesus was completely content with God's will for his life. And if we're going to follow Jesus, then we need to hold the same posture towards our own circumstances.
Yeah, our own trials, which are lighter than going to the cross and about to take on God's wrath.
And I would suggest, just a little suggestion, learn this before you're in deep trials. Because Dale and I have just walked through 2 years of trial after trial after trial after trial. And unfortunately, it took, at least for me, going through those trials to learn contentment.
Yeah, I've been telling people also, study suffering before you suffer.
Mm-hmm.
Because I promise you, it's coming. It comes for all of us. Mm-hmm. Suffering, trials, issues here. One thing I want to point out is a lack of contentment isn't just a solo sin. This is a really, guys, this is going to go so much deeper in a second. Mm-hmm. You're going to realize how gross this stuff is. Discontent is the birthplace of many other sins. And you might even say that being discontent is like a gateway sin.
Mm-hmm.
It's the origin of sins like complaining, Which Philippians says, do not complain. Yeah. You know, and everything.
Do not complain about anything.
But in everything
by prayer and supplication.
Yeah, there we go. I think we're mixing two scriptures there.
Do everything without complaining.
There you go.
And disputing. There you go.
You got it.
Do all things without complaining or disputing, that you may become blameless, harmless children of God.
Look at
that
us.
That you may shine as lights. I'm butchering it a little bit, but you know what I mean. As lights in the world and in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation.
Veronica's initials are VIP, so this is the VIP translation.
Boom.
Okay, so you might even say that it's a gateway sin. And what births out of a discontent heart is complaining, anger, worry, adultery, pornography. You think that guys are content with their sex life in today's world? No. That's why, you know, 90% of men and like 70% of Christian men look at pornography on a regular basis. Debt. What do you think debt comes from? Well, it's this idea of not having what you think you need and going into debt. Striving, fear. This is a cesspool of grossness that comes out of a discontent heart. Mm-hmm. And so it's this breeding ground for all these sinful desires. And, you know, I think about Eve in the garden. Okay, so she was perfect in every way. She had a perfect husband. She had a perfect life. The temperature was probably 81 degrees or 78 degrees in the Garden of Eden. She lived in paradise, and it was in complete fellowship with God. She had access to God. It's just awesome, right? And she was in a world of 1,000 yeses and 1 no. Mm-hmm. You can do anything you want except this one thing. And the enemy used discontentment, what she didn't have. You don't have the knowledge of good and evil, right? Because you're going to be like God, you know? To cause her to initiate sin into our world. And so the very beginning, right? It just think about this for a second. If you want to trace back the very beginning of the fall of the human race and the human condition, it all began with a discontent heart. That's amazing. And to not talk about this, I feel like I should have done 12 sermons on this by now, in terms of just what this is, the kind of, you know, kingpin of so many different issues. Thomas Watson, who's a Puritan, said a fantastic statement. He said, "Satan loves to fish in the troubled waters of a discontented heart." Think about that. Don't allow Satan to go fishing in your discontent heart to pull out a whale, right? Because this is what happens. Satan loves to fish in the troubled waters of a discontented heart.
So basically, discontentment is not wanting what we do have and desiring what we don't have. But when we're content, we remove both of these positions and our hearts are satisfied in mm-hmm. all circumstances at all times.
Yep.
I think Paul gives the best example of this in Philippians 4, verse 11 through 13. And it says, "Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me."
Yeah, and you think about this, that key word he said there is, "I have learned." Mm-hmm. I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. So the Lord's patient with us in this.
After 2 years, I finally have learned.
And we've learned.
And I've not mastered it. I'm not saying that I've mastered it.
Yeah, but
we still have a lot of learning.
We've learned
to
get on to the step one of the 100-rung ladder.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, basically it's something we need to be constantly working on. So I want to talk about one more scripture on the matter, and then we'll close on some points of application here in a second. So I want to look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, 6 through 10. I'm going to read it to you real quick. Paul's writing Timothy, and he says, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content." Basically, he's saying everything else is an extra blessing beyond food and clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 9, "But those who desire to be rich," implying that they're discontent, because a desire to be rich is incompatible with a content heart, basically is what he's saying. fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. So he's confirming here that this supports our statement of discontentment being a gateway sin. You just said that, right? It says that fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Verse 10, for the love of money is, a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Philip Ryken made a really great quote I'm going to read. It says, our trouble is that so often we come to God with our greeds rather than our needs. Already having everything we need, we pray for what we want. This becomes the source of our discontent. We desire things that God has not promised. And so, guys, since we don't have a ton of time, and I'm trying to keep these podcasts like ideally under 30 minutes, I'm just going to teach on this first sentence. So now godliness with contentment is great gain. I want you guys just to kind of have an understanding of what this means here. So godliness, when you think about being godly, that's a desire to see God's character reproduced in you. And so, you know, ask yourself the question, are you godly? Are you trying to have God's character reproduced into you? Is that's the process of sanctification, making you more like Christ? Are you resisting that, or are you embracing that? Are you looking for that? Man, I'll tell you what, I'm running at that. That's my hope and desire deep down, is that I just become more like Christ. Now, contentment, as we talked about before, is the acceptance of God's will in your life, regardless of the circumstances. And so Paul is telling us that our priority as Christians should not be to become rich or famous or healthy or smart. That's not the priority. Our priority is to be godly. And when you combine that objective with contentment or accepting God's will in your life, you will be, in my opinion, the most joyful person that you possibly could be. Mm-hmm. Is that godliness with contentment is great gain. In comparison to, like, you think being rich is great gain, you think having fame is great gain. No, it's not. Godliness
with contentment
is great gain.
Okay, so let's look at some practical points of application. First, we have to recognize that discontentment is ugly, and it never delivers. It will not make you happier. It will not make you holier, healthier, more likable, or definitely not more at peace.
Yeah.
It's a trap of absent, a trap absent of gratitude, a pond filled with poison, a place where God cannot see you.
Yeah, and it's this
cannot see you, cannot use you.
Yeah, it's this place you're just going, it's just a gross place. Like, think about whenever you've been discontent. Like, you kind of go, I think about those times in my life, and I go, I just feel gross, and I wouldn't want the Lord next to me right now.
I think Nancy talks about it in her book. I was telling you about it earlier. She refers to it as dumpster diving.
Yeah.
So your mind is like a dumpster full of these discontentments and thoughts, and if you're sitting on them and stewing on them, it's trash. You're sitting on them and stewing on them and meditating on them instead of meditating on what the Word of God tells you to meditate, you're dumpster diving.
Yeah.
That's what she referred to it as.
Yeah. You're just focusing so much on what you don't have, and you're just forgetting the fact that, oh, you know what? You're breathing, and your heart's still beating, and you laughed today.
And you're not naked, and your belly is full. So
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, that's a win. And so, Veronica did number one. Number two is, without Christ, there's no contentment. There can be no contentment without Christ. He is the source of contentment. And in him, we have more than we deserve. So just the gospel in itself is sufficient to meet all your needs of contentment. Like, even if you didn't have food or clothing, but you had the gospel and you died with the gospel, you are still more rich than when you came in. It's the only thing that you can take out with you is the gospel, is this idea that you're saved. And you have eternity with Christ. And so through God's truth and the conviction of the Holy Spirit, contentment is possible. So I'm letting you know, Christian, you can be content. You can learn contentment like Paul did. And but if you're not pursuing Christ and his word, don't expect to learn to be content. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, man, it's so, the last couple of years we got into ministry, you know, we came into the business world and we had a lot more money when we were in the business world. And now we're living on a lot less. And we have learned even in our own journey to be content with what we have. I feel like just stopping striving for like the next thing, because the business world is like a machine to make you.
Yeah, it trains you for that.
It trains you to be discontent. Mm-hmm. It's been such a joy to rest and go, you know what, man, we have a lot. Mm-hmm. We have way more than we deserve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, contentment isn't being complacent and killing off all of your desires. Just wanted to mention that. Contentment is being thankful with where God has you and patient for what's next.
Yep.
That being said, true contentment is maintaining a thankful heart, even if your desires and prayers aren't answered according to your desires.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so you can still have these desires, right? You can still have hopes.
Yeah. You have hopes, have dreams, have, I don't know, a goal or whatever it is, and be praying about those things. But being content, even if God's answer is no.
And being content while you're waiting. Mm-hmm. Is the key, you know. So you could, we're not saying to go kill off all your desires and dreams, you know, because you already have too much. No, you can still have those things. I have all types of dreams, but I'm just sitting going, all right, Lord, you have me here today. Mm-hmm. Next best move, you know, right foot, left foot, right foot, left foot. Hey, Dale Partridge here. If you don't know, our mission on this podcast is to bring the church back to the Bible. And basically, we want to make sure that you're experiencing biblical Christianity and not the culture's counterfeit. And sadly, the Western church is filled with Christians who accepted Christ without really understanding what that means. And the modern church hasn't done the best job in helping believers understand the deeper doctrines of the Bible. And for that reason, I wrote a short and bold book called Real Christianity. The subtitle is How to Be Bold for Christ in a Culture of Darkness. The question this book answers is, what does it really mean to be a Christian according to Scripture? Now, guys, this is an easy 75-minute read that aims to lay down the theological building blocks of the Christian faith. And for those who want more, I created a printed companion study guide as well. And you can buy both in our store at shop.relearnchurch.org or pick them up on Amazon in print, Kindle, or audiobook. And so another thing I want to point out is, as we kind of close in these points here, taking turns here, contentment doesn't necessarily mean that you're happy in the moment. And meaning that you can be content and not necessarily in that moment be happy. What it does mean is that you're yielded and you're faithful. And in that yielded state and through your trust in God, you can find joy. And so there's a difference between happiness and joy. And so, you know, it's hard to be happy about your cancer diagnosis. You can be joyful in the midst of a cancer diagnosis, and you can be content in those things. And so these are really important distinctions, and I wish we could dive deeper into them, but I wanted to make that quick point.
Fifth, gratitude is the greatest weapon against discontentment. Start your day off in your prayers with gratitude. Psalm 104 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name.
Hmm.
Again, I mean, this just, yeah, reminds me of people in persecuted countries. Like, be thankful that you live in America if you're listening to this and you live in America. Or, you know.
Yeah, or just any country that you don't have to hide, mm-hmm. you know.
The fact that you're being a Christian.
Yeah, exactly. And, I would say another thing we didn't add in here is there's things that if the internet really makes you stumble, you know, it's okay to take a break from the internet, get your heart pure. Now you do need to be able to get back on the internet and still not stumble, you know? I'm not saying like this, I'm talking this idea. People have like pornography software. The software is going to fix me. No, It's not going to fix you. You need to make the change in your heart. But there's nothing wrong with staying off the computer a little bit when you're dealing with that issue. And so if Instagram is making you discontent, you know, take a week off. Work on your heart with the Lord. Get rid of the things that maybe make you discontent. And so last but not least, oh, maybe I did put this in here. Oh, anyways, this is kind of an idea of it, is subtract. This is from her book. I thought it was just a point that you got to put in there. Minimize your desires. You know, we in the West and in the modern culture, we want so many things. There's things in this world that we want that we absolutely don't need. We confuse our needs and our wants together. And, you know, what I'm saying here is don't minimize your zeal for Christ or for godliness or for his kingdom, but minimize your desires for your kingdom. You know, recognize that you have more than you need. If you're listening to this podcast, like, trust me, you have more than you need. The homeless in the West have more than they need. You know, they have food and clothing in America, at least, you know. And so just we have to recognize that in that posture, that God has richly blessed us with the gospel alone. The fact that we have food and clothing and anything else is just amazing. And so sit before the Lord in gratitude and work in that heart of contentment, learning contentment as Paul did. So we hope this episode was helpful for you. You could find contentment and guard against dissatisfaction with the Lord's will. Last thing before we close is, yeah, if you guys haven't left a review, we just keep reminding you guys. So many of you have. I think we have over 4,500, I think, reviews. And so if you guys want to leave a review, that would be great. We'd appreciate that. And on that note, we will see you guys next week. Take care.
See ya.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Real Christianity. Real Christianity is an audio ministry of relearnchurch.org. If you'd like more information on how to live out a biblical life, relearnchurch.org hosts a variety of articles, podcasts, sermons, and videos to support your journey. Real Christianity is 100% listener-supported ministry, and if you'd like to support our efforts, simply click the Donate tab at relearnchurch.org. You can also connect with both Veronica and I on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter for daily lessons and Bible teachings. Thank you for being with us today. We hope to see you next Wednesday for another episode of Real Christianity.